It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kend. Millions of people take part in a health challenge, abstaining from alcohol during dry January, as it's become known. And increasingly, it's becoming a year-round phenomenon, according to Fast Company, as consumer interest in alcohol alternatives soars. We get the view from Wisconsin and hear you. Call in with a question. Share your thoughts at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Sam Green is head brewer for Untitled Art, which is based in Wanakee and distributes non-alcoholic beer and other beverages nationwide. Sam, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Well, hello. Thanks for having me.
Yes, Untitled Art is considered a leader in the emerging non-alcoholic craft beer scene, if you will, but the company started out making seltzers. What led you to start making non-alcoholic beer?
Yeah, so we started, I think, about 6 years ago. We did do a couple of beers, bringing new styles to Wisconsin to have a better representation for kind of what was going on in the world, and shining light and bringing Wisconsin up to par with kind of these new age styles. And we wanted to pursue seltzers and we wanted to pursue non-alcoholics. I think kind of after COVID, people had a lot of self-reflection and they kind of said, well, this is a really dark time in my life. I need to kind of think about my health, my mental health, my physical health. And non-alcoholics were a nice kind of alternative to that. So we wanted to make some healthy beverages.
But non-alcoholic beer has had kind of a bad reputation. Why did initial brews traditionally taste so bad?
Yeah. So initially, past couple decades, it's only been this arrested fermentation. So for those familiar with brewing, you'll kind of brew a regular full-strength beer and then halt the yeast immediately, kind of disrupting the natural life cycle of it. And that leads to what brewers call wordy, which is just kind of a unfinished, unrefined, super sweet kind of beverage. And the whole beauty in beer is this balance between bitterness and sweet. And once you kind of knock this sweet level too high and reduce the bitterness, you have an unbalanced beverage. And that's where kind of these non-alcoholics weren't getting it done. So this new technology is reverse osmosis and membrane filtration, where you can just kind of really, really finely concentrate the liquid, withhold all the flavor, subtract the alcohol, and then you can rehydrate it back up. And those have been very promising.
Is that the approach you're taking at Untitled Art through reverse osmosis?
Yeah, so we have gone in two directions. There's three. One is vacuum distillation, which we don't do. That's how you make a 0.0% alcohol. But you can do this arrested fermentation or this membrane filtration. And we, for different styles, do different creations. You know, some of the beers are going to express themselves better in one way, and some can't be rehydrated back up another way. So
Is the water still a super important component of how you make the beverage?
Oh, yeah. I mean, especially in non-alcoholic, now that you're it's basically 99.5% water.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't start with a great tasting base, you're going to have trickle down effects. You know, the mineral content is off, or if it's too hard or too soft, you'll taste that in the final product, and the hops and everything react differently without alcohol being in there, kind of as a solvent or as a palate cleanser.
So where should people start? Which of your non-alcoholic beers would you recommend someone start with?
Well, it depends. We kind of, our Untitled Art way is we're pretty aggressive, I guess. We're not afraid to try these zany microbrew styles. So Italian Pilsner was a very popular one for us. It is basically our number one seller. We also have a non-alcoholic juicy IPA for those people who like IPAs.
Mm-hmm.
And the goal for us has always been, we wanted to make beer that's great tasting, not with this asterisk next to it. Yeah, it's pretty good for a non-alcoholic. No. We're trying to go up.
I think you've
against...
heard that before.
Yes. And we're trying to eradicate that kind of mentality. So our secret fantasy is to kind of have you taste our NA Juicy IPA versus your local brewery's IPA and not be able to tell the difference between which has alcohol and which does not.
We're talking about the renaissance in non-alcoholic beers. Sam Green is head brewer at Untitled Art in Wanakee. You can join in. Questions and comments about NAs, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Sam, how is the marketplace out there? What kind of market growth are you seeing in non-alcoholic beverages?
Yeah, so it is, for lack of being cliche, it's on fire right now. We made a large push a couple of years ago to pursue non-alcoholic just for personal interests, and that has paid dividends left and right. You can kind of see, too, a lot of people are very attracted to this. And I don't know if that's a younger group of people who just kind of. What we wanted to do was prevent this ostracizing of, you know, you go to a barbecue or a sporting event, and if you don't drink alcohol, especially in Wisconsin, you're kind of looked down upon. And it's kind of, oh, what's up with this guy? So that's why we want to pursue the regular 12-ounce cans. You know, you're cracking a beer with your friends, you're keeping pace, and it looks like you're drinking, and you're able to participate in that. And that's played pretty well. And personally, I actually consume quite a bit of them as well, in replacement for soda or just any kind of carbonated beverage.
12-ounce cans, is non-alcoholic beer getting the shelf space at supermarkets or at liquor stores?
Yes and no. So you can kind of see how it is growing a little bit, but it's never going to be a replacement for the massive brewery footprint that they have. But I mean, at first we kind of had to fight for it, especially on draft. We're on draft as well. And now people are approaching us asking, where can I get this? Where can I get this? And, you know, that's how economics will play out, is there's more demand. So now we're making more supply, and you see it more and more at different locations.
I was wondering, do NAs show up on tap in establishments?
I don't know. Now it's recorded, but I believe we're one of the only people who does that, because you need a lot of infrastructure, and we're fortunate enough to use Octopi Brewing and their beautiful state-of-the-art equipment to complete that. A lot of other breweries can't insure non-alcoholic on draft.
So Octopi Brewing recently purchased by a Japanese company, Asahi. What effect will that have on Untitled Art?
It should not affect us. We contract brew at Octopi. There's a few other locations that we lightly contract at. If anything, it might even tighten things up. I think there's a lot of extra funding that's due to come in. So all the micro, the lab, all that stuff is going to get even better. And I think Octopi was in the leading front of all that, but this will just kind of be a cherry on top. So
the craft scene is going, it seems, and the big name brewers are also getting in on this. And I'm just wondering, what impact does that have on competition and how you approach this type of space?
Yeah, that is a good question. So it's been interesting. So we were kind of, as was said, you know, non-alcoholic beer wasn't very good. We wanted to make something that is great. And that got, we'd like to think, maybe it's not true, but that got the attention of a lot of big brands, you know, Corona, Blue Moon, Sierra Nevada. You can see they're all coming out with their non-alcoholic versions as well. Is it a competitive space right now? I don't believe so. You know, a lot of the brewing industry is pretty altruistic, a lot of camaraderie. Eventually that'll kind of dwindle down and it will get a little competitive. But as for now, I mean, anyone who can shine light on NAs is going to be good for us, and what we're doing is good for them. So the more people that drink it, the kind of more open the market becomes.
Last question here in our final moments together. Nancy in Madison wants to know, what relationship does NA beer have with the batch beer that was produced during Prohibition?
Oh, that I don't know. I will personally look that up, though. So there, I like this question.
Yes, there could be some historical perspective there as well. Well, Sam, thank you so much for joining us and for sharing the work you're doing.
Wonderful. Thank you for having me.
Sam Green is head brewer at Untitled Art. It's based in Wanakee, distributing non-alcoholic beer and other beverages around the country. Stay with us as we turn our attention to non-alcoholic cocktails in the view from a Milwaukee hybrid bar. Call in with a question you can share in the discussion, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Can non-alcoholic cocktails offer as much complexity and flavor as the full-proof spirits? Call in to explore that question. You can share your perspective. The number is 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. We discuss the sober cocktail innovations underway in Wisconsin with Kat Doty, operating partner at Milwaukee's Agency. That's a hybrid bar that serves alcoholic and non-alcoholic versions of its mixed drinks. Kat, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So Agency opened a few weeks ago. Can you explain the concept behind it?
Yeah, so we just opened about 3 weeks ago, just in time for Dry January. And our goal is to really offer a completely equal experience between drinking and non-drinking. Our entire menu is completely split, available as alcoholic and non-alcoholic. Everything is the same, glassware, garnishes, all the table side, you're ordering from the same menu. So you really have a chance to feel the same kind of connectiveness as any other kind of cocktail bar.
How is it being received so far? What are initial impressions like?
It's been really amazing. And what's, I think the coolest thing is we're seeing people who have been abstaining from alcohol for years that haven't really had a chance or a place to be able to go out and, you know, be with their friends who do choose to drink. And now we're seeing these people who are, you know, kind of getting back into it, and they're hanging out with their friends, and, you know, they have their non-alcoholic beverage and their friends are drinking the exact same thing, just with a little bit of booze. But then what's also been really interesting is we've found that a lot of people are just taking that agency to choose for themselves that, hey, I'm going to have two cocktails, but either, you know, I have to wake up in the morning, you have something busy, so then they'll switch to the next one or two of NA. So it's been really interesting and pretty wonderful to see just how people are really approaching this and really just kind of appreciating the ability to choose, like, yeah, I still want a really great cocktail. This time, no alcohol.
How difficult is it to make two versions of the same drink?
It's been a really fun experience. My background is very heavy into, like, I come from a kitchen background, but with my cocktails, I tend to lean pretty spirit forward. I tend to go a little bit boozy. So, you know, really diving into NA was a lot of fun. And there's a lot of challenges that come with it because you want to make sure that you're keeping all the flavors balanced and everything. But there's been times where we'll start with a cocktail and we'll make it into an NA, and we really fall in love with it, and it gets us to push our alcoholic concept a little bit more. So it's like, wow, this is fantastic. We can bump the other one up. And so it's kind of been this fun little dueling thing where they're kind of just bumping up each other until we end up with this really phenomenal product, both for non-alcoholic and alcoholic.
So in the end, do you want someone to not be able to tell that it's non-alcoholic, or is that not a real central goal?
We want everyone to feel incredibly included. Mm. You know, there are times where we'll be drinking one of our non-alcoholics and it's like, wow, I could have sworn that there was actually alcohol in there. Mm. But it's really very much similar to just being able to play with those flavors and being able to just give the same exact experience. There's only one cocktail that we make one slight little difference, And that's simply just the stencil in which we do a little bit of allspice on our amaretto sour. One of them has the symbol for alcohol, and one of them has a symbol for water. And that's the only difference between any of our cocktails.
Kat Doty with us is operating partner at Milwaukee's Agency. It's a bar that serves both alcoholic and non-alcoholic drinks. And we're talking about the non-alcoholic ones and the challenges, the opportunities that Kat sees. You can join in with questions and comments along the way at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Kat, I understand that you dislike the term mocktail. Why is that?
It's a term that we're not a big fan of at Agency. We feel that it kind of just literally brings a mockery to it. And what we're trying to really do, and what I think a lot of people in the NA industry are really trying to do, is show that you can still have the same experience. And we're still putting the same amount of care, consideration into all of these. And so it really truly is just a non-alcoholic cocktail, you know. And one of the things that our partner Ryan, he likes to talk about is he's like, it just doesn't sound cool. You want to go out for a mocktail? Like, no, let's go out for a drink. Let's go out for a non-alcoholic.
How do
Let's give
you
it the respect it deserves.
how do you feel about the term sober cocktail? Is that okay?
I haven't heard that before, but I'm a fan of that. I can do that one.
Okay, all right. Well, so are you selling more alcoholic or non-alcoholic drinks?
Right now, we're still leaning a little bit more alcohol. I mean, we are still in Wisconsin. But I think that we're kind of around like a between 30 to 45%, depending on the days, between the non-alcoholic, which is really been exciting to see just how people are responding, and especially being in Milwaukee. And I think this really goes for Wisconsin as a whole. We're known as having a really strong drinking culture, but I think with that comes a really strong sober community, and they're coming out and they've been really enjoying it. And for anyone who's, you know, participated in Dry January or Dry-ish January, whatever you choose to do, they've been really showing up and appreciating it. And so I'm interested to see, you know, as we progress, if it does kind of change, if we do start getting a little bit more NA, or it's, you know, it's a fun little experiment. And this is so early in to this NA world, and it seems that it's all just taking off. So we're just gonna see what happens. And it's been helpful.
Well, Kat, I was thinking of you last night as I was eating my pizza in front of the TV, watching football and drinking Stout Premium Kitty
Yes.
cocktail. Have you had one? They're so good. Have you had the Stout Premium Kitty cocktail?
No, I haven't.
Oh,
Where
you
can I
have
find one?
in the grocery store. They're like in the soda aisle. And it's, you know, I don't know. But kitty cocktails, what can you tell us about making them and, you know, what makes them better?
We really find is that it kind of just gives you a little bit more fun that you can play with. We always say, you know, NA spirits are not necessarily created to drink on their own. They're definitely meant to be combined and creating something really wonderful and magical. So it's, you again get to kind of have your own agency of what you want to do with that. If you want to make a really fun little syrup, or if you want to try it with a, you know, different topping of sodas, you can be creative and have fun. And so it's, as much as it's wonderful that we have these, you know, canned products and other that are just ready to drink NA products, if you're feeling a little creative, play with some NA bottles. Make a fun little syrup. Don't take it too seriously. I always say if it stinks, just chug it.
How do you address the sugar content issue though, and you know, keep the calories down?
Yeah, so that is definitely something that we've been trying to really be very mindful of. Really, what it comes down to in this, it really comes to just, again, balancing those flavors and playing with the acidity and being mindful of how these NA products are created. A lot of times it's taking, you know, you have all these different flavors that are essentially distilled separately, and then they all kind of combine them instead of doing it in one. So taking that, sorry, my cat is loving this. Taking that kind of concept and just being a little bit mindful, and I've noticed that you can drop down a little bit of your sugar for more most simples. Like if you normally you're gonna go with a 0.75 ounce or even a full ounce into a alcoholic cocktail, generally with an NA, you can bump that down at least a quarter, if not a half ounce.
Okay, Kat Doty with us, operating partner at a hybrid bar in Milwaukee, serving alcoholic and non-alcoholic versions of its mixed drinks. And you can be part of the discussion. Call in with a question. You can add your take at 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We discuss the growth and the innovation in non-alcoholic drinks and get tips for making non-alcoholic cocktails at home. Kat Doty is operating partner at Milwaukee's Agency. That's a hybrid bar serving alcoholic and non-alcoholic versions of its mixed drinks. Call in with a question. You can share comments at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Kat, what are your favorite drinks that you've made non-alcoholic versions of? What have been your aha moments?
Oh, that's a tough one. It's been fun. We do a lot of collaborative effort over at agency, but there's two that I think really stand out for me. One is our aviation. When aviation has always been one of my most favorite cocktails. I feel like it's one of the cocktails that really gets a lot of people into being like, oh, wow, this is cool. And for our NA one, that was one that we were so excited about the NA and it got us to bump up the alcohol. So that one, we actually make a fantastic violet candy syrup. And for me, that is just all nostalgia and such a core memory. That's something that my mom has always been chewing on. So pulls at my little heartstring a little bit. But then we also have a part of our menu, which is us having experimental cocktails and us just really pushing the limits of what kind of silly things that we can do. And one that I'm really excited about is our Jurassic cocktail. That one is, it's like just walking through a prehistoric rainforest. It's so much fun. It's a wild cacao washed mezcal or non-alcoholic mezcal, a little bit of rich jaggery syrup, which is an unrefined sugar, very commonly used in India. Then a little bit of Moly bitters from our friends at All the Bitters. Then a little roasted red pepper oil. And then at the end, we automize it with geosmin, which is the chemical compound that's responsible for the smell after rain. So you sip this room temp cocktail and you're kind of just immersed in this. Wow, there's a dinosaur next to me.
It feels like you really want to draw people in using all their senses in order to kind of transport them through the beverage.
Oh, absolutely. We try to make every aspect to be an experience. As soon as you walk into the space, you kind of just feel like you're in this cool little cocktail lounge kind of thing. And during the day, it's discourse coffee. And so we flip this fun little cafe and, change it. And we have so many different options that are tableside. The geosmin is spritzed at your tableside. Another one of our experimentals, the New Frontier, we build a little mini parfait right at the tableside with that too. So it's really just us trying to make every moment feel really special for, again, whether you're there to kind of get back after being away from bars as an NA drinker for years, and now you can come back and have this really cool, elevated service.
When you are thinking about ingredients, do you prioritize local ingredients or seasonal ingredients when you're creating these drinks?
Oh, absolutely. We have used quite a few different products from our friend Mushroom Mike. He is just wonderful. And I actually had an opportunity back when I was a cook maybe did like 8 years ago. I worked at a wonderful farm-to-table restaurant, and we used a lot of mushroom-like products. And so it's been really fun kind of getting back in and being like, oh, I remember these. I remember this. And we one of our lead bartender, Alana, she's just wonderful and fantastic. She's also a forager. So the last like week or so, we've all kind of just been getting really excited for spring to come and foraging and seeing what we can do with all these seasonal fun times.
I would imagine Wisconsin cranberries could potentially be in the mix for the for these drinks.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're probably all going to do like a agency in the field and kind of go up to Door County and see what kind of wonderful things that we can find there.
But here we are in the throes of winter. What makes a good winter drink?
Ooh, playing with those root vegetables. I think a lot of times root vegetables don't get the love and attention that they deserve, especially in, you know, making cocktails and all that. I personally really love working with parsnips and salsafia, especially celery root. That one can be a lot of fun. So kind of just really taking those warm flavors and then adding, you know, the classic baking notes, the allspice, cinnamon, get a little brown sugar up in there, and throw in some herbs, and boom, you just made a delicious winter magicalness.
So when you're working with root vegetables, do you like boil them down or how do you extract the taste?
Yeah, there's a couple of ways that you can do that. We do a lot of things with sous vide. So you can, for example, for like parsnips, I would probably roast those off. You know, throw in a little fun herbs while those are roasting, and then put them in a blender or a Vitamix. Add equal weight of the root vegetable with sugar. Blend that all down, and then throw it in a little Ziploc bag. You know, heavy duty guy, sous vide that overnight. Strain it away, and that's delicious.
Kat Doty is the operating partner at Milwaukee's Agency, a bar that's serving alcoholic and non-alcoholic drinks. As we look at the future of NA drinks and cocktails, you can join in with questions and comments, 800-642-1234. Heard from Phil in Crystal Lake, Illinois, called in, and Phil's wondering, what is the difference in price between NA drinks and alcoholic beverages? Phil assumes that non-alcoholic drinks should be less expensive. Is that the case?
So, actually, what we're finding is there's a lot of the NA bottle offerings are actually going to be just as expensive, if not more expensive, than, say, just, you know, a rail bottle of vodka. Because, again, there's so much thought and care that goes into creating these, and there's a lot of science that goes behind, you know, behind the scenes. And so, generally, a bottle of an NA spirit can go anywhere from $22 to $35. So you do kind of have to take that into consideration. It's especially with what we do at agency, we're using all of the same flavors, the same syrups, all that kind of stuff. We're just flipping, flopping out, changing a little bit of the ratios. So it does end up actually being about the same. There's been a couple of times where after pricing it out, I find that the NA is actually slightly more expensive.
Can you explain how you mimic the feel of an alcoholic beverage without the alcohol?
Yeah, so there's a few different ways that you can do that. Utilizing different like gome syrups to really kind of get that mouthfeel. A lot of times too, it's sometimes you'll notice that the way that the burning kind of alcohol aspect, a lot of times in NAs, they're trying to recreate that sensation. And it's been really interesting to see how everyone kind of does it a different way. Sometimes you're going to use actual peppercorn, sometimes capsaicin. So you have to be aware of that and see how that really plays out. It's a lot of tasting that happens, a lot of tasting, a lot of tweaking.
All right. Well, tasting and tweaking, what advice do you have for folks who are trying to make these creations at home?
Have fun with it. You know, figure out what kind of flavors you like to play with. Do you like citrus? Do you like floral? Do you like something that's got a little bit of smoke in it? Playing with smokers is really fun to do, especially with NA. It just kind of holds on to it really well. But yeah, there's a lot of NA spirits that have a lot of recipes kind of ready for you. Check them out online and then tweak them at home, add an extra dash of this.
Are you watching what's happening in the non-alcoholic beer space and the demands there, and how might that inform the future of non-alcoholic cocktails?
Yeah, I think it's there's non-alcoholic beers that have, really been making a lot of big steps. But I think what's also really cool is seeing what's happening with NA seltzers. Wisconsin has System Seltzer that they, I think, actually got the first true patent for a non-alcoholic hard seltzer, and that's a big deal. Like they got that before White Claw. So you're seeing kind of like all each of the branches really going crazy. Even with non-alcoholic wine, a few years ago you would try non-alcoholic wine and it's that, Welch's sparkling kind of thing that you had when you were 12 years old and it's New Year's Eve.
Yes.
Now they're actually phenomenal. Like, and it's really wonderful to see how each of the different branches of the alcohol world are really kind of harnessing the non-alcoholic aspect and just stepping everything up. And I think as we see bigger players coming in, there was one that just Tanqueray just announced a NA. And when you hit people like that, this is serious. This is real. This is happening. And the products are just going to keep getting better.
In our final seconds together, what is your biggest challenge in making a new non-alcoholic cocktail and how it is received by customers?
I think the biggest challenge is just we really don't know. We're one of the first to really do this, so we're kind of just putting it all out there. We're trying our really best, and we're hoping that people love it and appreciate it and keep coming back for more.
Well, Kat, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh my gosh, thank you so very much.
Kat Doty is operating partner at Agency. It's a hybrid bar serving alcoholic and non-alcoholic versions of its mixed drinks. And earlier, we talked with Sam Green, head brewer at Untitled Art, which is based in Wanakee. I'm Kate Archer Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.